Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today we're continuing our series on the book of Proverbs. I hope that you're enjoying this series. I hope that you have picked up the Bible reading guide and decided to read along with us. A couple times throughout the year, I desire as a church that we can study God's Word together, that I believe as believers we should all be reading God's Word, but you may be going through a different passage or whatever it may be, but a couple times a year we like to read verses and books of the Bible together, and so this month, the month of September, we're going through the book of Proverbs together, and we're at the halfway point. Can you believe it? Halfway. This year is going by way, way, way too fast. But we're halfway through September, but if you haven't started reading through the book of Proverbs, it's not too late. You can read two chapters a day and catch up in no time. You can follow us on social media, and you can see the verses, the chapter that we're reading for the day. And throughout this month, we've been tying in our messages along with the book of Proverbs. And so let me recap where we've gone, what we've discussed over the past few weeks if you haven't been able to be here. Proverbs is set up as a part of the Bible that we can pick up at any time. That you can pick up the book of Proverbs and you can read through it and you can apply its principles to your life. And not to say that the rest of the Bible is not that way, but some passages in the Bible, amen, I mean, they're a little difficult to navigate through sometimes. And the book of Proverbs is one of those great books that we can pick up and read and just verses will jump out. And I need to do that. What I am doing is not that, and so I need to do what it says. We can apply it to our daily lives. That Proverbs is like an onion where you can just pull back layer after layer after layer of just wisdom goodness. It's just it's an amazing book. And I hope that as you're reading through it, you're reading it through those eyes and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you to gain things that you need to do in your daily lives. And so you can flip through verses and you can go through each one and understand what God is speaking. And last week, we looked at the whole idea that we should not be envious of others. That we can look at this world and we can look and see what God is doing or what God is allowing to happen in other people's lives, and we can be envious. That we can look at them and be jealous of what they have. And God, why aren't you doing this in my life? And I'm living a good life and they're just living like sin, but yet you're blessing them and not blessing me. It's not for us to understand. That whole verse, don't lean on your own understanding. That's where we have to trust in God and trust in Him with all of our heart. That we looked at what envy brings. Envy doesn't bring us anything good. And as a matter of fact, envy takes away our peace and our joy. So we have to be on guard of envy. That to trust in God with all of our heart and lean into His understanding and not our own. Now, if you've been reading through Proverbs, you probably picked up on something this week. If you haven't already picked up on it, but if you've been reading through the book of Proverbs, you realize something specifically this week in our reading, that the writer of Proverbs, more than likely it was Solomon, uses feminine pronouns. Did you pick up on that? As you're reading through it, he uses feminine pronouns to describe wisdom. You can see it going back into Proverbs chapter 1, and it's throughout much of the book of Proverbs. So let's take a look, if we can, at a couple verses right now. Proverbs chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, we'll have it up on the screen. But Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, says, wisdom does not call out. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the path, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. Wisdom is personified as a woman calling out. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to why Solomon chose to personify wisdom as a woman. And there's a lot of different ideas behind that. And there's not one cohesive, one 100%, this is why he did that, because, you know, he's not around and we can't ask him. However, there is an agreeable solution that is a literary tool that he used to identify the reader the importance of wisdom. You know, we have to understand that when we go through God's Word, when we read the Bible, that the authors use literary tools, much like authors do today. That's not saying that it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's just the writer being inspired by the Holy Spirit to use common literary practices so that when people read it, they're brought into the pages, that they're brought into the passage, that it grabs a hold of you. And so Solomon was using a literary practice for people in that day to so they would read it and go, wow, I need to pay attention to this. Now, why would he use a woman as that? Well, women played an important role in the household. Women played an important role in having a stable household. In the culture and custom, women, if you had a stable household, more than likely, there was a woman that made it a stable household. And everybody said, amen. I didn't hear enough ladies saying amen on that one. I figured you'd be shouting me down on that one. It's just the Holy Spirit still working on you. Now, wisdom is portrayed as a woman. A wisdom is portrayed as a woman throughout the book of Proverbs. But the counterpart to wisdom is folly or foolishness. And folly is presented as a woman as well. Foolishness is presented as an adulterous or wayward woman who preys on foolish men. Let's look at them side by side. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Okay, wisdom. In this passage, we see that wisdom is a companion that will lead people to prosperity. I want all of that. I want a life of prosperity. No one should hold a begrudging remark against anybody that says, I want a life of prosperity. That's a great thing to have. And wisdom is saying that if you walk with me, that I will, where does it say? I will bestow wealth on those who love me and make their treasuries full. I want my bank account full. I want my treasuries full. I want my 401k funded. I want all of those things. So the companion to that, wisdom, the companion is of wealth and things of blessing. Think blessing in that regard. Now, flip over to chapter 9, verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. In chapter 9, we see that folly or foolishness, what the companion of that is? Death. That wisdom brings prosperity. Foolishness brings death. We've got two choices. Which one are you going to choose? We're all going to choose option A, right? Absolutely. We're all going to choose wisdom. We all want more wisdom. The first week I said, who wants more wisdom? Everybody raise their hands. And I don't think that's changed. You don't have to raise your hand. If you have, come talk to me afterwards. We'll discuss why. We all want more wisdom. We all want to make the best decision. Every day, you have decisions to make. You have countless decisions to make, from what you're going to wear to what you're going to eat to what direction are you going to go here, what are you going to do there, things at work, whatever it may be. You have decisions. Think about this past week. How many decisions did you have to make this past week? All right, that's too much. How about in the past 3 days? What am I going to wear? What color shoes am I going to wear? Where are we going to go to eat? All of those. Or if you went to the grocery store, you've got tons of decisions. Do I buy this or do I buy that? Or all of the decisions that we have to make. Sometimes we can be on decision overload. How many of you have ever had decision overload? That there are times that I'm just like, I can't think anymore. Just somebody pick dinner, please. It's not one of those trick questions like, you know, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know. And then you pick, like, no, I don't want that. Well, then you know what you want because you said you didn't want that. Right. And all the men said, I'm helping you out, brothers. You know what you want, just tell me. There are times that I'm on decision overload. I don't care. Just make the decision. I can't think of another thing. There are so many decisions in life. I just make it that we are so many decisions. But with every decision, there comes some element of wisdom and there comes some element of foolishness. If you have kids that are young, or maybe when they were younger, or if you got grandkids, you see this play out. That when you tell your child, that stove is hot, don't touch it. There's an element there that what do they do? Ah! It was hot. That was foolish. I told you not to touch it. Now, moving forward, when they look at that stove, they think, wise, no, not touch, or foolish, hot. They understand that. You see that play out. Some choices are easier than others. Choosing between right and wrong, we know the difference. We know what is the wise option, and we know which one is foolish. You know, and I know, going to bed at a proper time and lead to a full 8 or 7, 8, 9, maybe 10, if you need 10, whatever it may be, that going to bed at a certain time will produce better results for you tomorrow. If you have to wake up early, then you know going to bed earlier is the wise decision. We all know that, right? Because the foolish decision is not getting a full night's sleep and then waking up the next day and then you're mad and upset at the world and want to bite everybody's head off. But how many times has that television show or that Netflix series just pulled you in and just one episode more? Well, I've got to watch the next episode, and well, now I watch three. Now I've got to watch 10 more because I got to finish it, and you end up getting 2 hours of sleep. Not looking at anybody. We all know what the wise decision is, and we all say in life, given two options, we will make the wise one, correct? But yet we've all made the Netflix decision. We've chosen the foolish one. And then we pay the consequences, and everybody else around us pays us too because we're upset and grumpy because I only got 2 hours of sleep. Well, whose fault is it you got 2 hours of sleep? We knew what the foolish choice was, but we did it anyway. The wise decision is to bring your lunch every day or to go home and eat for lunch, to save money. The foolish decision says, well, you know, what's $10 here or there? And then you add it up over the course of the year. What was wise and what was foolish, and which one did we do? There are many obvious choices, many decisions that fall into the category of wisdom and fall into the category of foolishness, and we know what they are. We clearly know, but yet we still will fall into the category of foolishness. There was a lady who was working on her budget. Many of you are familiar with Dave Ramsey. If you want to get your finances in line, follow all of his advice. I mean, he just has a great program. And part of his program is to help people get out of debt. And so he leads you through a program, and part of it is that you pay cash for everything. He believes cash is king. And I know there are different theories and different thoughts on that, but just his program is cash is king, and you budget your month. Let's just say you make $2,000 a month. So at the beginning of the month, you sit down and you budget every single dollar for that month. I know I'm going to bring in $2,000, so every dollar has somewhere to go. That, you know, budgeted for groceries, budgeted for this, entertainment, whatever it is, and then you pay cash for everything, or you line everything up that there's that you know where every dollar is going. Well, there's this lady who decided to get on this program. She wanted to get out of debt, and so she sat down at the beginning of the month. She did everything right. She budgeted all of her money. She knew where every dollar was going. So one day, it was a Friday afternoon. It had been a rough week. She goes and picks up her kids from daycare. It's raining. It's just an awful, miserable day, and she ends up with a flat tire. So she has to pay for a flat tire. She had a little bit saved up in her emergency fund, but she had also budgeted not to go out to eat, because every dollar was accounted for. And so she decided to go out to eat because the kids were crying in the back seat. Mom, we're hungry. Mom, we're hungry. She was upset. She was just frustrated. Fine, we're going to go to McDonald's. Everybody get a Happy Meal, and life is going to be wonderful. So she did that. Everything was okay until Monday hit. And that McDonald's charge went through, but so did all the rest of her bills that she had lined up. So what happens? Overdraft, 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 overdraft. She knew what was right. The right decision was to go home. We've got food at home. It wasn't that she didn't have food. She had food at home, but she just made the decision, well, I'm just going to do what's right here and right now. And she ended up paying the consequences for that. Now, you're probably saying, what's wrong with that? Her kids were crying. They wanted food. I get it. But when you're budgeting every dollar and you want to know where every dollar goes, that was not the wise decision. We know the difference between right and wrong, what we should do, but sometimes we choose foolish decisions. We can't blame others for our foolish decisions. We may want to, but ultimately it comes back to us. We want to say that we're going to choose wisdom every single time when we know the difference between what we should do and what we shouldn't do, but how many times do we choose foolishness? When we're really, truly honest with ourselves, we probably choose foolishness more than we choose wisdom. Or we choose foolishness more than we should over wisdom. There are times that we know the difference between the two, and we have to discern this is the right thing to do. This is what wisdom is saying. We know the difference between right and wrong. But there are times in our lives when things are similar. How do we know which is wisdom and how do we know which is foolish? They both have their similarities. Look at this. Look at how Scripture plays this out. Look at 8, chapter 2 and 3. Wisdom is on the heights along the way, at the highest point along the way, where the paths meet. And she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city and the entrances, and she cries aloud. That's what wisdom does. Now, look what foolishness does. Look what folly does. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the where? The highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Look at what they're doing. Both set wisdom and foolishness set themselves up, calling out to those passing by. The highest point. That's like walking through downtown Plant City and somebody is standing on one of the buildings just shouting out as people as they're walking by. You can hear what they're saying and you can audibly hear. You know exactly what they're saying, and that's what wisdom and foolishness are doing. They're crying out. They're calling. We can hear them, but which one are we going to follow? They're both doing the same thing. If we don't take time to hear and pursue wisdom, we may mistake the call of foolishness for wisdom. There are decisions that we know. Going to bed early is wise. Staying up late is foolish. But there are other decisions that we have, and we can't distinguish what is wise and what's foolish. They both are calling out to me, which one do I choose? We have to take time and listen and discern the voice of wisdom. We have to understand that there are good things that we do, but they may not be wise. There's a couple serving at our church in Cape Coral, and they were a great family. They came alongside of us in ministry and did amazing things. I'm not talking about the Ellsworths because they're here, and so I wouldn't talk about them because they're right here. They're a great family, by the way. But there's another family that was, we're just going to bring everybody from Cape Coral, like, just come on, let's... But there's this family, and they started serving alongside of us in the family ministries department. And we had a lot going on. We were a large church and many different things going on. We needed volunteers. We had 4 services, and we had 5 preschool classes that we had to fill with volunteers, 2 people per class, 4 services over. We needed people. Alexis, you know all I'm talking about because she served many of those classes. And so we had this family, and they said, hey, we're here to serve. We want to help you. We want to serve the kingdom of God. Just put us to work. Okay. Don't ask twice because, boom, we're going to put you there. And so they served, and they served, and they served, and they were doing amazing things, and they were helping. It truly was able to take a relief off myself and Rebecca and say, man, we've got other people that are helping us do this thing called ministry. But over time, what happened is they began serving in everything. They were doing everything. They were just a volunteer family. I was paid staff, so I had to be there for all 4 services. They were volunteers, and they were there all 4 services. That was not healthy. I should have stepped in and said, you know what, this is not healthy, this is not wise. Because what happened was burnout. That in their willingness to serve God and to do what was wise, it's wise to serve the kingdom. It's wise to build up the next generation. And you need volunteers, so we're going to do it, yeah. But not at the expense of burning yourself out and your family. Because what happened, friction started to happen. That between, you know, serving in 4 different services and going to every life group that we offered and every service and every opportunity, it was just too much. And it was not wise. That there are decisions, while it may seem to be the right thing to do, the wise thing is to say, this probably isn't healthy. I, again, should have stepped in and said, enough, this is not good, before it got out of hand, and unfortunately it did. But we were able to make amends and work things out, but it was not healthy. That sometimes there are decisions that we think are right, but yet are not, because wisdom and foolishness are both calling out. We have to be able to discern which one to follow. as we grow in wisdom, we will be able to hear wisdom's voice and be able to discern it. When we spend time reading through God's word, we can know what wisdom is calling and what is foolish for ourselves or our families. It's important that we spend time to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, to discern what wisdom is speaking. We'll grow in our judgment and we'll know when to put the brakes, when this is probably not the right thing. This is not the wise choice. When both of them look equally appealing. I'm serving God or I'm doing this, I've got two job offers. Which one do I choose? And I know there are some people going, amen, I want two job offers right now and in the name of Jesus. But if that happens, which one do I choose? They both sound good, but which one is the wise decision for me? They may both sound good and they may meet all the needs, but which one is the wise decision? Sometimes the right choice is not always obvious. The right choice is not always obvious. It's important that we take time and understand that we're pursuing wisdom. And that's exactly what Solomon was doing for his sons and for us. Taking time that we could read God's word and pursue wisdom. What is the right thing for me to do? What is the right path for me to take? Because foolishness is going to cry out to you. And if you follow foolishness, what does foolishness bring? We read about it a few minutes ago. What's the companion of foolishness? Death. What is the companion of wisdom? Prosperity. Blessing. Don't you think the enemy will try to use that? I've had to learn the hard way on many, many occasions. Let me close up with this story. I was 19 years old. And let me preface this by saying my first car was a 1977 orange Chevy Nova. Long bench seats in the front and the back. I mean, that wasn't like, I was like, how do I move the seat? Like the whole thing moved. Like, it wasn't just part of it, the whole thing moved. I'm like, what is this? And it had no air conditioner. In Florida. That was not fun. One of my first jobs was, I worked in an office in downtown Plant City. So I would go to school half the day, and then at around lunchtime, I would leave and go to my job downtown Plant City. But I had to wear long sleeve shirt and tie. Wearing long sleeve shirt and a tie in August, it's not fun. So I hop in my car, and by the time I get to work, I'm just a sweating mess. And like, you do realize, like, this isn't like, can we wear short sleeves? Can I not have the tie? Like, no, we had to wear it. And so that was my first car. And after a couple months of working and saving up money, my grandmother helped me get my first car on my own. It was a truck. I wanted a truck so bad, and man, I finally got it, and it had an air conditioner. Yes! I was living the lap of luxury right there. Air conditioned and in my car. Wow! Lifestyles of the rich and famous right there. I was, if you were here last week, that makes sense. But I got that truck, but I had it some time, and then the transmission went out. I was devastated. I'm like, this is my truck, and now I've got to spend $3,000 to get this thing fixed. So I took it to the mechanic, and they're fixing it. And next to the mechanic shop was one of those traveling circus car events. You know, like they pop up, in grocery parking lots, and they have all their cars. They're only there for a couple days. That's why I call them a circus, because they're only there for a couple days, and then they're off to their next town. And so here I am getting my transmission fixed on my truck. I'm just upset. I'm irritated. And I'm like, I'm going to go walk out and just amongst the cars. Bad move. So I walk out there, and there's another truck. It was a white one, and it was an extended cab. Woo-hoo! I'm moving up in the world now. So, of course, the salesman walks up to me, this 18, 19-year-old kid. Want to take it on a test drive? Yeah. Absolutely. Man, it drives like a dream. Even shifts gears. This is great. I'll take it. My mom and dad said, are you sure that's wise? Yeah, I got a job. I can pay for it. I'm working two jobs. I can pay the insurance. I can pay the car payment. They're like, are you sure? Again, I was old enough to make the decision. What's wrong? It's a truck. I need a truck. I could use the extra space because I was starting to get involved in the youth ministry and stuff, and I can take more people around and we can go on different things. Like, yeah, it'll be, yeah, it's great. This is the best thing. Are you sure? Yes, it is. All right. So I did not know anything about interest rates. They need to teach that in school. That needs to be a class, how to write a check. What is an interest rate? Anything like over 5 or, you know, 8, that's a lot. Mine was over 20 for like 6 years. Where do I sign, man? And I signed. I paid for that thing for far too long. I was upside down before I left the parking lot. I paid for that thing like for the next 3 cars that I had. Was not wise, but it was calling out to me. Do it. This is the right thing. No, it wasn't. It was wrong. In hindsight, I know it was wrong. Why do I share that story? Because we all have stories like that. We all have been through times where we thought it was wise, but we did the wrong thing, but we can help somebody not do that thing. We need to, if we want to gain wisdom, we need to learn from God's word. We need to spend time in God's word. But guess what? We need to spend time with fellow believers, with other, not even just believers, just other people. Let me learn from you. And there are people that would willingly give that advice. I would willingly tell every young person, do not sign, do not buy that car unless you have money for it. And many of you in here today, you have lived life. You have made decisions. And there are things you're saying, let me tell you how to avoid the mistakes I made in my life. I thought it was wise, but it was foolish. And let me help you avoid that mistake. Sometimes things may seem right. They may seem wise, but they're foolish. That truck was calling out to me, but it was foolish. And there are things that you may have done that are foolish in your life. But the great news is, just because we go down the path of foolishness, does that mean that that path is our ultimate end? That while, yes, foolishness can lead to the grave, we have a Redeemer that can redeem our foolish mistakes. And His name is Jesus. That He can help us overcome those consequences. So all across the room, if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads this morning. Wisdom and foolishness are calling out to us. Which one are we going to choose? This week, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make. But the one you make right now will be the most important decision you ever make in your life. To make Jesus the Lord of your life. That is the wisest thing anybody could ever do. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I've made a lot of mistakes. And I'm living the consequences of them. Jesus can redeem our mistakes. He can bring back to life what we thought is left for dead. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what, I've had a relationship with God, but I've just made some bad decisions. I've gone down the path of foolishness. That's what the grace of God is all about. Say, God, forgive me of those things. Forgive me of my foolish mistakes. That this day forward, I want to live for you. I want to live for your wisdom in my life. I want to seek you. I want to seek your word. To stop and pause before I make a decision, to consider what your word says, to consider, Holy Spirit, what you're speaking to me. If you're here today and you're like, you know what, there's just a lot of decisions that I wish I wouldn't made, and maybe they're just silly mistakes, but maybe some are bigger, maybe some have been sinful. You say, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. You say those words. You mean it. Jesus, forgive me. I believe in you with all my heart. I know you can forgive me of my sins. From this day forward, I want to make the wise decisions for my life. And I promise you, the wisest thing that you can do today and that you will ever do is put Jesus first and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our foolish mistakes. We knew what the right thing to do was, but we did the foolish thing anyway. Forgive us. Redeem us our mistakes. Redeem our past that we may walk fully with you. Or maybe you're here today and you're in the second category, and you've just got a lot of decisions, or there's something sitting in front of you, and you're not sure what decision to make. They're both calling out. Is it wise or is it foolish? I just don't know. Spend time in God's word. Allow wisdom's voice to speak louder. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you that this is the wise thing for you, for your family, for your wife, for your kids, for your employees, whatever it is. And then walk in confidence that I've made the right decision. God, that is our prayer today, that we would walk in your wisdom, that we would walk in your ways. We know many times that there is black and white. Help us make the correct and wise decision. But in those moments, we just don't know. May your word speak to us. And Holy Spirit, may you speak, that we would be wise in everything that we do. That's our prayer. That's our heart today. Thank you, God, for your leading, for your guidance, and for your wisdom. And all of God's people says, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.